This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Mark, Roshan Kennison and Noelle Lim. It is 6 o'clock in the morning, Tuesday the 11th of August, and the forecast for the next hour at least is dark, unsurprisingly, because it is, of course, 6 in the morning.
Yes, of course. Weather forecasting. I know that's your strong suit.
Absolutely. You know, I can see so far into the future. It's so uncanny. How are you doing, Noelle?
I'm doing okay. Trying to get through Tuesday.
It is Tuesday, right?
It is Tuesday.
It's only Tuesday, Noelle. We're only 2 days into the week. You can do it. I believe
in
you.
I'm sure I can.
What about you, Roshan? How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's good to be back in the studio after, what has it been, 12 hours?
Something like that.
24 hours. Sorry. Math is obviously not my strong suit.
Counting hours.
Counting hours. I don't know. You know, maybe the days are just blending into one another. And I think that's just what you get nowadays with the uncertainty of whether you're working from home or working in the office or whatever. But, you know, we've got an exciting lineup for the show as we always do. And in a little bit, I'm going to be we're going to get into the misinformation. I think this is the name of the game right now. With all this information we see out there in the world, it's easy to get misinformed or share misinformation. So how do we cut through the noise? Well, we'll discuss that in about 10 minutes.
And after the 6:30 news, what do we have lined up, Noelle?
International news, as always. And as we know, there's a lot of tension that's going around the world now, right? So we're going to take a look at Belarus and Hong Kong.
All right. So if you want to weigh in on our conversations, remember you can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We are going to be heading into some music, and then up next, what helps you work at home better. So be sure to stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Gimme All Your Lovin' by ZZ Top, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noelle. 6:06 a.m, Tuesday the 11th of August. And, you know, we're looking at the subject of working from home again today, because a lot of us have had experience working from home. Some of us, our offices will continue some form of work from home, probably for the foreseeable future. And there's an interesting article in the BBC talking about this new method that people have been using to make their work from home days a little bit more palatable and feel less isolated. And that is office noise generators. So
yeah, quite interesting, isn't it? Background noises of offices like printers, coffee machines, as well as people chatting. There are actually sites that provide these sounds.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. And apparently one of the most popular, which is, of course, office noise generator, has racked up about 200,000 views since April. And it started as a joke.
It is interesting. But I have heard of people already using kind of background sounds, whether they're listening to it on YouTube or getting white noise machines. But I think this is interesting because you're trying to mimic the environment of an office in your home or wherever it is you're working. Maybe it gives you a sense of comfort, or maybe it's just the association you have with mm-hmm. those sounds, right? So I know I have that for sure. I used to, before I started interning in BFM all those years ago, I used to go to cafes every day because it was not just coffee, but it was just the environment that you were in. It's like, it's a sense of being connected with the world, but not being disturbed by the world, right? It's like you're immersed in all this background sound. As long as nothing's too jarring, it makes you feel like you're not alone, but that you are also like on your own. So it's quite nice.
Yeah, it is quite startling, the effect that background noise can have, because I had experience with this very recently. Like, I've recently moved house, and the new place that I'm in is a lot quieter. And the first night I was wondering, you know, why does it feel so lonely? Why do I feel so isolated? I spent a lot of time on my own in my previous place anyway. And then I realized it's because where I was previously staying, I had the window open all the time, so I could hear street noises. I could hear cars going by, motorcycles, I could hear the chatter of people walking down the street, and in the new place I can't. So I have a little Bluetooth speaker, and I've actually just taken to playing jazz very quietly throughout the day whenever I'm at home, because that means that it makes it less quiet, it makes it feel markedly less lonely. So when it comes to, you know, this office noise generator, I think it's a fantastic idea, because when you're at home, yes, you know, you want to mimic the sense that you're in the office so that you can feel productive and all of that. But at the same time, you know, I kind of can't help but think, would I use this in the actual office? Because I get the office noise sounds without potentially being disturbed by colleagues walking by at random points throughout the day, right?
The mind is very habitual, right? So when we are used to certain sounds, it feels a bit strange when we stop hearing them. So therefore, we need to replicate those sounds, whether at home or in a different environment. And I mean, quite honestly, if we have been, you know, schooled from day one to not hear sounds, like, you know, just not hear sounds, then we probably want silence, right? Because that's what our norm is. And I think secondly, there's also that sense of comfort, like you say, okay, I'm with people, but they're not coming to talk to me. So I can have some peace of mind and continue doing my work. So it's that balance of both worlds. I do find myself wanting to go to the library sometimes, or even going to a cafe to work if I'm not here in the office due to the split team arrangement. You know, so that's something I would do too.
Yeah, I personally have associations with different sounds, right? So whether it's different types of music or different types of background sounds, I have an app that I use. I think it's called Tide, T-I-D-E. I think that's what it's called. And you've got different background sounds, right? So you've got rain, you've got library, you've got cafe, you've got all these different things. And it's actually, the sounds are really good. They're very crystal. And it really does, if you put in your earphones, it really does feel like you're immersed in that environment. And I find that different types of sounds work with different types of work for me. So if it's something like a nature thing, that works a lot more with focus. Sorry. With focus, where I'm like, whether I'm reading or it's something that I really need to focus on. But if it's more of like an action task, then it can be anything. I could pretend I'm in a library or listen to music for that matter, where it's not so much about thinking about the subject matter, but more about acting on it.
Yeah. So, you know, different, it's also, like you said, Noel, kind of how you've trained your brain, right? And I realized in university, so in university, when I was studying, I would always try to block out the sounds of people around me. And I could never listen to music with lyrics because I would get distracted. I couldn't remember what I was reading. So, you know, in a very noisy environment where I just wanted basically wordless sound, I would blast rock music in my headphones while I read or while I wrote. And I find that that actually still carries into the workplace, because sometimes, you know, if I'm sitting in the bullpen and the office noises actually distract me, because there are snippets of conversation that you can kind of tune into and you sort of like, oh, what's
that person
doing?
And there's no particular harmony to it, because
yeah, there's no
it's
particular
like
harmony.
So random.
Exactly. So I find that if I really want to focus, the best thing that I find kind of snaps me into that focused productivity zone is actually still to blast the same soundtracks and rock music that I used to listen to in uni.
Yeah, I'm sure there is some science behind it, you know, the beat and all that, how it stimulates your brain.
So tell us what you think about this. You know, what helps you work at home better? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages coming up for you, and then we're going to be talking about navigating the information bubbles present in today's societies. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was I'm Still Standing by Sir Elton John, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Roshan and Noel. Now, there's an article in The Atlantic recently talking about, well, looking at the political situation in Poland. So, you know, you might think this is a little bit far removed, but the situation is one that is probably very familiar to a lot of us. It's in a situation where half of the country is exposed to one kind of information bubble. So one that is very pro-government, very pro the current ruling party, and the other half of the country is exposed to an entirely different bubble, you know, one that is taught to distrust the government in Warsaw. It talks about the struggle of one opposition politician to actually gain traction, you know, from the other half of the country when the information bubbles are so very distinct. And it's not just that it's all true information. You know, you get propaganda being disseminated over national airwaves. You get disinformation being propagated. So one of the examples in the Polish situation was that the ruling party saying, oh, this opposition politician is a proponent of LGBT ideology, which is one of the leading political leaders described as worse than communism. So, you know, that kind of information caught a lot of traction amidst the bubbles that it was exposed to. And I guess this raises the question of how do we break out of these information bubbles that we can find ourselves in? Because, you know, social media, for one, tends to exacerbate the issue when it shows you articles that are similar to ones that you've already liked before.
Yeah, I mean, but this is such an issue that requires a lot of self-awareness as well, right? And it also requires a want to know that, a want to learn the other side or learn other perspectives, because, I mean, it's not easy to first acknowledge that maybe you're not consuming well-rounded media or whatever it is. And two, sometimes it's a bit more complicated than that, because it's really about the sources that you're looking at. And not all sources are created equal. Not all media forms are created equal. Some are better than others. They may come from different perspectives. But I think the first step is to acknowledge the inherent bias that we all have, and that's not a bad thing, right? Bias and slant are two different things. Bias is just we have preferences in our daily lives, the political causes that we believe in, the ideologies that we believe in. Now the question is that, or the hope is that, we don't let that bleed into our and skew our entire perspective of everything and the way we perceive different media.
Yeah, so I think much depends on three things, right? One, the recipient, based on, you know, their background, social economic background could play a role, education as well, and also basically what you've been exposed to and the values that you hold very strongly, right? So if you are quite, for example, anti-LGBT, then you are, you know, any politician that comes to you remotely supporting LGBT causes, it might rankle you. And so that's one. But there's also the message and the messenger, right? So I think when political campaigns, are very careful about crafting the right messages. So Donald Trump, for example, you know, he hit home with the right kind of messages that appealed to that majority audience that he needed to persuade to vote for him. And also then there's the messenger, which is quite interesting. So in 1960, there was the presidential debate between Richard Nixon and JF Kennedy. That was quite a crucial debate. So people who heard the debate on radio thought Nixon won. The people who watched TV thought JFK did the better job. And so it was interesting because on TV, they could see Nixon was rather nervous. But in substance, what people heard on radio, Nixon came out strongly. So the messenger is really important, how he looks, how he sounds.
And that has changed significantly, right? Because of the advent of social media, which is where I think Donald Trump has gotten a lot of support. The way messages are now sent across or distilled is very different. Now it's no longer TV and radio. TV and radio no longer hold the monopoly on how information is disseminated, or the papers for that matter. You've got social media, you've got people cutting out clips, you've got people sharing clips virally. The ability to spread information is faster than it's ever been before. And you can do all you can to try and stomp out misinformation and all of that, but it's never going to beat how fast people can read something and send it out or cut a clip. So even when you have the debates, who watches a full debate now? No one. Barely anyone, unless you're analyzing the debate or you are really, really invested in what's going on. Normally you watch highlights of it. So who is distilling that debate for you? Who is making a 20-minute highlight of a one-hour interview? There's an editorial skew to that as well. So how do you perceive the narrative that comes up from that? And also you've got 30-second clips of one-hour interviews that are then shared across, which may completely change the light in which that statement was made.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the tendency of people to skew towards advice and opinions that agree with them, it really just comes down to our culture particularly, right? So for a lot of us, I think, are conflict averse. So when you see an opinion that you don't really agree with on social media, how many of us will actually take the initiative to actually engage with that person and say, why do you think this? You know, and it's, you know, the social media can also be a magnifying glass for negative behaviors. So you probably see this opinion you don't agree with, you say, oh no, I don't want to engage with that, just move on. Or you screen cap it, maybe send it around to your friends with a haha, this person is so strange, you know, why did, you know, I can't believe they think this. That's also not a healthy behavior, because you're not taking the effort to engage the other person and understand where they're coming from. Because everybody has a background, has a cultural context, has a social context. And different people, and it just, it just makes this divide between ideologies even worse. The US is a great example of this, right, Noah, that you brought up, because you look at the content coming out of the Democratic side of the debate versus the content coming out of the Republican side of the debate, and the supporters of those different camps, they look like they're miles apart.
Yeah, but that's also because we've come to this point because politicians are trying to win, right? They're trying to get re-elected. So if you're taking a look particularly at the US, they don't care about the national agenda. They care about what their demographic thinks, right? What is it going to take for that congressperson to get re-elected? And there are certain messaging that they need to keep on point, because if not, certain support bases are then eroded or they get kicked out of office. So each one of them is just thinking from, and then
we're from talking a self-interested perspective.
Self-interest, and it's a 2-year time frame for Congress people. So it's always about that and making sure that you don't alienate your voters. And if the national perspective changes, then they've got to adjust to that as well.
Yes, yeah, not just the US, right? It's in the UK. It's mm-hmm. also in Malaysia, for sure. We see so much of that happening. And that's why it takes it takes a lot of wisdom, right, as a voter, as a person consuming all this news, to be able to decipher. And I have to say something about social media. I have some friends, I used to be quite judgmental and say, oh, that's quite self-indulgent, right? They bear their whole life on social media posts. And then I realized, it's their priority, right? If that's what they want to do, that's fine, right? And it's not to be judgmental, but instead to be compassionate about the kind of tribulations that they may be going through.
Compassionate and understanding, and basically taking the initiative to try and reach out to see the other side of things, right? Not just being comfortable in your own little bubble. But do let us know what you think. Have you taken the step to break the information bubble? You can WhatsApp us 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. We have the 6:30 news bulletin coming up, and then we're taking a look at some international stories. But first, here is Eurythmics with Sweet Dreams, BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Dancing in the Dark by Bruce Springsteen, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lin-Mark, Roshan Gunnison and Noel Lim. 6:41 a.m, Tuesday, the 11th of August, and we're taking a look at some international stories now. First on the agenda being what's been happening over in Hong Kong. So there's been a slew of new arrests under China's new controversial security law, and among them is a prominent name, one of the most prominent, in fact, Hong Kong business tycoon Jimmy Lai has been arrested alongside other pro-democracy and media figures, raising fears of a potential crackdown by China.
He is so far the most high-profile arrest, and that's because he owns Apple Daily newspaper. It's one of the largest, I think, newspapers in terms of circulation. So I went to SCMP, South China Morning Post, to take a look at the video, right, how he was arrested, and also he was paraded through his office. They arrested him in his house, and then they took him to his office to bring him through the office. And then they also, the video also showed the police raiding the office as well at Apple Daily. I think the point here is, it really sends out a signal, right? Nobody is going to be immune, regardless how rich you are. And if you are anti-national security laws, you have to pay the price.
Or even if you are pro-democracy, right? Or at least pro-democracy protests. So I think one of the articles that we're taking a look at described how the Chinese media outlet called Global Times referred mm-hmm. to him as the riot supporter, right? So it's really about framing. And then this ties into the whose narrative you want to believe in. But I mean, I'm inclined to here take a look at what we have on hand. And the fact is, these people are being arrested for quote-unquote supporting foreign powers, which is an incredibly dangerous accusation in my head. What defines supporting foreign powers? And is it just because you're criticizing the government at hand? And this is why there was so much outrage and outcry around this national security law. How much longer does Hong Kong have as in terms of press freedom at this rate?
So in the case of Jimmy Lai, right, he has been Chinese official news media have called the leader of the Gang of Four. And I say Gang of Four in air quotes. So this Gang of Four apparently incited unrest unrest in the city. And I guess the collusion with foreign powers probably came from the fact that Jimmy Lai met with U.S. Vice President Mike Pence, as well as Secretary of State Mike Pompeo last year, which unsurprisingly angered China. It does raise a lot of questions over the future of Hong Kong, right? Because Hong Kong has made it so far because of the international community's willingness to place their presence in Hong Kong. You're close to China, but not necessarily, and therefore able to take advantage of business ties, but not necessarily beholden to the laws, to Chinese laws. But now that is increasingly no longer the case. So will we see more capital outflows coming out of Hong Kong in the next few years? It seems likely.
Yeah, that's true. And also, indeed, it's really a sad day for Hong Kong, right? And what Jimmy says, he told his live audience, you swallow whatever is served on your plate. And he said he was expecting this day. He is a UK national, a citizen there. I'm not sure if there's any more protection than that. That's how it is now for him.
And I think this just goes to show, I mean, there's a certain way the Chinese government runs things, right? So The fact is, there is no Facebook, Google, and Twitter in China because of, one, they wanted to let their own companies grow, of course, but also there is a certain amount of censorship involved. And Facebook and Google at the time did not want to be part of it, or at least were just outright banned. And then so-called the Great Firewall was built. And today we're seeing the inverse, where in the US you have the US expressing its own concerns, but it was not an outright ban. I mean, it's still, the fact is, TikTok can sue the US for what it's going through now. So there is a difference in how these two countries operate. Even though one may seem more unstable than the other at this juncture in history, they're not entirely shutting down your ability to criticize that government.
Yeah, I mean, and we were talking just now about information bubbles and how to break out of your information bubble, right? China is a fantastic example of one massive information bubble controlled by the Chinese government, because it's the Chinese state media is very powerful, and in a lot of cases, the government doesn't actually come out to make an announcement or make a statement. The statements are taken from the government mouthpieces, so the Chinese state press. But we are going to be taking a look, of course, at our own press and what's been on the front pages of our newspapers this morning in just a few minutes after these messages. So stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, that was Walk This Way by Aerosmith and Run DMC, and you're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn, Roshan and Noel. Now, we are taking a look at the front pages of our local newspapers this morning, but first, a bit of an international update. There's been some breaking news about half an hour ago, that there was a shooting outside the White House. US President Donald Trump had to be evacuated from a news conference, and subsequently confirmed that someone had been taken to the hospital over the incident.
Yes. Hopefully there'll be more news, and we'll be tracking this, obviously. So looking at the local newspapers, New Straits Times, Lim Guan Eng, former Minister of Finance, he has been charged with abuse of power. So he was charged at the Sessions Court yesterday with abusing his power to obtain a 3.3 million ringgit bribe in connection with the Penang Sea Undersea Tunnel mega project. And I think this was during the time when he was Chief Minister. And so he vows to prove innocence, according to this other headline here, New Straits Times. And Gerakan has, of course, come out to say he said DAP was told to, he has asked DAP to stop portraying Lim Guan Eng as a victim and a pauper who is unable to pay his bail, because he points out to the fact, I mean, Gerakan Vice President Dato' Baljit Singh points out to the fact that Guan Eng was actually earning a lot of money. I think he tops the list as Penang Chief Minister during his tenure there. I think his monthly income was about 86,000 ringgit. But 86,000 ringgit was during his time as cabinet minister. So he said, stop, portraying yourself as a victim. On the other side, also more corruption here, corruption cases, that is. Top auditor felt insulted, and this is in relation to 1MDB. Former Auditor General Tan Sri Amrin Buang said yesterday he felt insulted that the government had allowed 1MDB CEO Arukanda Kadasamy to go through the auditor's report before it was actually published, and Arukanda could even ask for sections of the report to be removed. And this is according to his testimony in court.
That is, I don't know what to say about that. But you know, I've got the Malaysian Insight open, and it's an interesting story here. Two siblings talking, political siblings in Sabah. I don't know how the dinner table is going to be like, because Tan Sri Musa Aman has been asked by his younger brother Dato' Sri Anifa Aman to retire, basically. you know, you've done a good job, elder bro. It's time to step down and let younger people and other people take it from here.
So has he done a good job, though?
I mean, that's for the Sabahans to decide. Anifa Aman is the president of Parti Cinta Sabah, and they're going to be in the state election. They're going to be fighting for some seats there as well. I think he said that they're going to be looking to try and grab as many seats as they can, maybe hopefully form a simple government.
What I wouldn't give to be a fly on the wall in that house. But I also have the Star in front of me, and they've got a headline. They've got a couple of headlines on their front page. So one of them is the onus on owners. So a bit of a wordplay there. So this is talking about properties which have been used as a basis for illegal gambling. Landlords can't claim ignorance escape police action. The other headline here is pinning down a super spreader. So this is talking about the Sivaganga cluster that experts believe is the result of a more contagious strain of COVID-19 than the other cases that we've seen so far in the country, because it's about three times, it's infected about three times the average number than we saw before.
And that's always going to be the concern, right, going forward. We don't know all there is to know about this virus. We don't even have a proper treatment at this. I mean, a complete treatment to cure it. We don't have a vaccine. And there is potential for it to change and adapt and all of that. And that's what the uncertainty in front of us really is. That's the concern around the uncertainty in front of us. And that's why the need for these protocols at this point that we're doing. I mean, it's not fun, but it is needed at this point in time.
All right, and that is all of the local news that we have for you this morning, because we're about to head into our very own 7 o'clock news bulletin. And don't go away. After that, we're bringing you more business news and analysis, so be sure to stay tuned. But first, You Shook Me All Night Long by AC/DC, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.